The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
These are the sounds of crushed souls. The sounds of despair from former radio personalities, languishing in the purgatory of corporate consolidation. These former radio personalities have lost their livelihoods, not because they weren't entertaining or informative, but because they don't meet today's corporate terrestrial broadcast standards of being smelly, overweight douchebags, seething with vein-popping hatred. These radio refugees and their audiences have since migrated to the internet, but their struggle continues as the quest for monetization ensues. Nicole Sandler is leading the way to reestablishing thought-provoking and entertaining radio, and you can help by clicking the donate button on NicoleSandler.com. Donate today, or as much and as often as you can. Dry the tears of listeners by removing the rotting stench of corporate radio. Won't you help?
Howdy, folks. It's me, the Easter Brucey. A little bunny song for today. Thought it seemed only appropriate. Hope I don't get my... Hope these don't get caught in my guitar. Sometimes the bunny hops. Sometimes the bunny stops. Sometimes the bunny sniffs the air and checks if a female bunny is near, so that he might bend her ear and convince her to go somewhere to have a quiet afternoon discussing philosophy. What do you expect? They're bunnies. Happy Easter.
There you go. A little Easter ditty from Mangy Fetlocks. But that's not enough. So let's do one more fun song ditty for you. Goes like this.
Trump truths on Easter Day about his 91 court charges at hand.
Oh, I missed
the beginning.
Can't you see
that a fake false idol is selling you a Bible? It's not that hard to understand. 77 Trump truths on Easter Day while you were with your family and at church.
Uh-huh.
Trump is a living poltergeist. He compares himself to Christ. Do not give your vote to Mango Lurch.
Miss Lori Lehner, since we missed the beginning.
77 Trump truths on Easter Day about his 91 court charges at hand. Can't you see that a fake false idol is selling you a Bible? It's not that hard to understand.
Nope.
77 Trump truths on Easter Day while you were with your family and at church. Trump is a living poltergeist. He compares himself to Christ. Do not give your vote to Mango Lurch.
There you go. Miss Lori Lehner, just a couple of Easter ditties for you to get us started on a brand new week here on the Nicole Sandler Show. Welcome to it. It is also April Fool's Day, but there's nothing funny happening right now. I'm sorry. Just nothing funny. So, yeah, lots of news. And today being Monday, so there's something in the universe going on with Mondays, right? So we get in on it because it's a thing. So at first was Rachel Maddow gets paid something like $80 million a year. Don't quote me on that number. I have no idea. But something, you know, outrageous and extreme, but good for her. If, you know, you can get the folks at Comcast to pay you the big bucks, take them to work one day a week. Now, I know she works more than one day a week, but to do a show one day a week. So it started with Rachel Maddow doing her show only on Mondays. Okay. And then the Jen Psaki was doing so well on Sundays that they that they gave her a Monday show as well, preempting an hour of Chris Hayes. And then Jon Stewart comes back, but only on Mondays. So there's a theme here. So on Mondays, we bring you the fucking news. Now you've met, oh, I forgot to open up a Zoom window for him. So when he gets here, Jonathan Larson is the purveyor of the fucking news. And as such, he breaks news. He does original reporting. So I have him on every Monday to give us some news that we're not getting from the corporate mainstream media. And today he will be breaking a big story having to do with a major government agency and a major leader of said agency, who's a former senator, I will say, my former worthless Democratic senator. Yeah, see, I'll leave you wanting more. So just stick around. Jonathan Larson will be here, you know, at the bottom of the hour. We do this at, you know, we do a live show for those who don't know, who maybe only watch on the or listen to the podcast. We're live weekday afternoons from 5 to 6 Eastern. That's why Jonathan tweeted it out, but said tonight. Because he's on the East Coast, so it's after 5 o'clock there. But here in Arizona, now that the rest of the country is on daylight savings time, we're on Pacific time. So it's early. It's only 2 o'clock here. We do the show live, and then it goes up as a podcast and out and all that. Okay. Well, Spocko, we may have time. I see Spocko's in the chat room. He's got a new piece up at Digby's Place. Spocko, if we don't get to it today, we will tomorrow. But there's a couple of things I want to share with you. Since I like to start out with a fun song, we did a couple of Easter-themed fun songs today. But there's a new Battle of the Bands out. And no, I'm not talking about the Beyoncé album, which I happen to listen to most of it. It's not my music. It's okay. It's there. A lot of songs, like 29 songs on it or something. But no, this is not that. You see, the song we're going to play is from a grifter. Her name is Lara Trump. Now, okay, so this woman is married to Eric, the younger, the middle son, I guess, of the former guy. And it's not enough that she is now the co-chair of the RNC, like she's got any credentials to take on a role like that. But, you know, it doesn't matter, because all she's in there to do is make sure that the money that poor unsuspecting people who for whatever reason still identify as Republicans donate to the maggot man go to him, or go to the maggot party, because that's what they are now, go to Trump so he can use it for his legal woes instead of down ticket races around the country. Anyway, so as if that's not enough, she fancies herself a bit of a singer. Now, sorry, I'm choking on the words. So she recorded a cover of Tom Petty's I Won't Back Down, until Tom Petty's estate issued a cease and desist and said, get our songs out of her mouth. So they did. But now she released another song, and it's called Anything Is Possible. All right. I'm warning you now to cover your ears. I won't play too much of it. But, oh, my God.
You can give up. Know that anything
anything, like she sings through her nose. Oh, now it kicks in. Okay, can't do it. So that's enough of that. Well, the DNC, I guess, thought they needed to respond to that. Go figure. And so, from what I can glean, they used AI to craft a response. Let me get her face off this picture. We'll put the phone number back up, should anybody care to call in. Yeah, that's pretty bad, right? Auto-tune, one note, bunny run. Thank you, Bob LeBlanc. Okay, so the DNC, instead of having like a Lara Trump, because we don't have the equivalent in the Democratic Party, in case you're wondering, they used AI to make a response tune. Now, beware, this is also auto-tuned, but can you tell the difference? All right. Oh, here we go.
You're running the RNC, but it's a sad song.
Sad song.
Fundraising slow can make the mark. Republicans losing, it's getting dark. Oh, oh, Laura, Laura,
Laura,
what have you done? The party's falling down, it's no longer fun.
Oh, no longer fun.
Laura, can't you see the leadership sinking from your pee?
Okay, and that's enough of that. So it doesn't matter which party it is. The music, and I'm saying that with air quotes, is dreck. I'll take the AI auto-tune computer voice over Laura Trump, who sings through her nose. Sorry, I couldn't help myself. Now I got to blow my nose. Sorry. Okay, I do have something serious to share with you, and it's brilliant. So we've watched, you and I, as certain states have turned red over the last, say, 10, 15 years, and others have trended more blue, right? So news out of Florida today. Oh, this is good. A couple of things. The Florida Supreme Court weighed in on a couple of items. So there's a few things that are going to be on the ballot. One is recreational weed. It's about time. Of course, they wait till I leave. We don't know if it'll pass or not, but it will be on the ballot this time. I guess maybe that makes up for, I don't even know how to put this delicately, for the governor, the still Governor DeSantis, who, didn't blow up his political career enough with that failed run for the presidency. And now what they're trying to put into place is a 6-week abortion ban, because the current, I don't know what it is now, who knows? It's whatever it is. It's disgusting. It's sickening. And these idiots, these maggot men trying to tell women what we can and can't do with our bodies. But anyway, so that's happening today. But the other state that I'm thinking about is Ohio. Ohio used to be a fairly blue state, and it has gone further and further red. Well, one of the big newspapers in Ohio is the Cleveland Plain Dealer. It's where Connie Schultz works. She writes a column for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. I've been a fan of Connie Schultz for many, many years, even before I knew she was married to Sherrod Brown. So that's, they're Ohio. Sherrod Brown in a very tough re-election race. And know that the Democrats cannot afford to lose a single Senate seat. Yeah, they got it. And the Democrats have a much tougher calendar this time out. So today I appreciate even more the words of the Cleveland Plain Dealer editor, Chris Quinn. He wrote an open letter to readers about their coverage of the former guy. And, well, he addresses it all in the letter. I'm just going to read it to you. So this ran as an editorial at the Cleveland Plain Dealer. And here's what Chris Quinn, editor, wrote. A more than occasional arrival in email these days is a question expressed two ways, one with dripping condescension and the other way with courtesy. Why don't our opinion platforms treat Donald Trump and other politicians exactly the same way? Some phrase it differently, asking why we demean the former president's supporters in describing his behavior as monstrous, insurrectionist, and authoritarian. I feel for those who write. They believe in Trump and want their local news source to recognize what they see in him. The angry writers denounced me for ignoring what they call the Biden family crime syndicate and criminality far beyond that of Trump. They quote news sources of no credibility as proof the mainstream media ignores evidence that Biden, not Trump, is the criminal dictator. The courteous writers don't go down that road. They politely ask how we can discount the passions and beliefs of the many people who believe in Trump. This is a tough column to write because I don't want to demean or insult those who write me in good faith. I've started it a half dozen times since November, but turned to other topics each time because this needle is hard to thread. No matter how I present it, I'll offend some thoughtful, decent people. The North Star here is truth. We tell the truth, even when it offends some of the people who pay us for information. The truth is that Donald Trump undermined faith in our elections in his false bid to retain the presidency. He sparked an insurrection intended to overthrow our government and keep himself in power. No president in our history has ever done worse. This is not subjective. We all saw it. Plenty of leaders today try to convince the masses we didn't see what we saw. But our eyes don't deceive. If leaders began a years-long campaign today to convince us that the Baltimore Bridge did not collapse Tuesday morning, would you ever believe them? Trust your eyes. Trump on January 6th launched the most serious threat to our system of government since the Civil War. You know that. You saw it. The facts involving Trump are crystal clear. And as news people, we cannot pretend otherwise, as unpopular as that might be with a segment of our readers. There are not two sides to facts. People who say the earth is flat don't get space on our platforms. If that offends them, so be it. As for those who equate Trump and Joe Biden, that's false equivalency. Biden has done nothing remotely close to the egregious anti-American acts of Trump. We can debate the success and mindset of our current president, as we have about most presidents in our lifetimes, but Biden was never a threat to our democracy. Trump is. He is unique among all American presidents for his efforts to keep power at any cost. Personally, I find it hard to understand how Americans who take pride in our system of government support Trump. All those soldiers who died in World War II were fighting against the kind of regime Trump wants to create on our soil. How do they not see it? The March 25th edition of the New Yorker magazine offers some insight. It includes a detailed review of a new book about Adolf Hitler, focused on the year 1932. It's called Takeover, Hitler's Final Rise to Power. It's by historian Timothy W. Ryback. It explains how German leaders, including some in the media, thought they could use Hitler as a means to get power for themselves, and were willing to look past his obvious deficiencies to get where they wanted. In tolerating and using Hitler as a means to an end, they helped create the monstrous dictator responsible for millions of deaths. How are those German leaders different from people in Congress saying the election was stolen or that January 6th was not an insurrection aimed at destroying our government? They know the truth, but they deny it. They see Trump as a means to an end. Power for themselves and their, quote, team, even if it means repeatedly telling lies. Sadly, many believe the lies. They trust people in authority without questioning the obvious discrepancies or relying on their own eyes. These are the people who take offense to the truths we tell about Trump. No one in our newsroom gets up in the morning wanting to make a segment of readers feel bad. No one seeks to demean anyone. We understand what a privilege it is to be welcomed into the lives of millions of people who visit our platforms each month for news, sports, and entertainment. But our duty is to the truth. Our nation does seem to be slipping down the same slide that Germany did in the 1930s. Maybe the collapse of government in the hands of a madman is inevitable, given how the media landscape has been corrupted by partisans, as it was in 1930s Germany. I hope not. In our newsroom, we'll do our part. Much as it offends some who read us, we will continue to tell the truth about Trump. And then, again, if you're just joining us, that was an open letter to the readers of the Cleveland Plain Dealer, written and printed as an editorial by the editor of that paper, Chris Quinn, and he signed it with his email address. It's signed, I'm at cquinn@cleveland.com. Thanks for reading. I can only imagine the backlash from some of those same people who will not listen to the words, but will take offense that, you know, that he dared to tell the truth about the dangers that Trump portends for the future of this nation. I think it's wonderful. We all need to speak up. This false equivalency nonsense is just that. It is fake. But, you know, Donald Trump has perfected the art, not of negotiation or the deal, but of projection. He looks at what he's doing and then he blames his declared enemies for doing what he's doing. It's the old, I'm rubber, you're glue. Remember that? Everything you say bounces off me and sticks to you. In grown-up speak, it is projection. In Nicole speak, it's opposite
world. Everything you thought you knew, you never knew it all. Sideways is straight ahead. Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, opposite world.
You know, I got to tell you, I'm not going to show the photo, but in all of Trump's despicableness, if despicableness is a word, if it's not, I made it so, he reposted, I guess I can't say tweeted or shitted because, you know, we're on Shitter still, but he isn't. This video, and I have it here, but no, I'm not going to play it for you, that shows a caravan of these Trump pickup trucks. I saw them in Florida all the time. Thankfully, I don't see them out here in Arizona as much, but they're there. You know, trucks flying the Trump flags, as if that's a sign of democracy. And there was a group of them, you know, taking over the roads, and one of them had, well, it turns out it looks like it was a sticker on the tailgate of this pickup truck that appeared to be a photograph of President Joe Biden hogtied and I guess, you know, tied up in the back of this truck as if he had been kidnapped. And, you know, I seem to remember a comedian, Kathy Griffin, being like excommunicated, if you will, because she dared to hold up a pretend head, shrunken head of Donald Trump, bloodied and obviously not real. What's the difference there? I'll tell you what the difference is. If Donald Trump doesn't agree with it, if it's critical of him, then it's evil. But if it's, you know, furthering his maggotness, then it's okay. It's astounding.
Trump's media stock is down 18% right there. You can see it. It has been dropping throughout the morning. This comes after the company that owns Truth Social posted financial numbers this morning. CNN's Matt Egan joins me now. Matt, this is no April Fool's joke, but it might be making some fools out of investors out there.
You know, Jimmy, it might be. We should note, though, that this stock really had been going up like a rocket ship until now. These new numbers are forcing a mini reality check. I say mini because despite the loss of 18% as we speak, we're still talking about a stock that has skyrocketed about.
Okay, that wasn't the clip I wanted to play. It was supposed to be a clip about this video that, you know, why does Trump get away with this, making threats against a sitting president? Anybody, if anybody else had done that, we'd get a visit from the Secret Service. That's number one. Number two, he spent the better part of the weekend on his Truth Social plummeting value social media site, you know, just bad-mouthing people. He takes every holiday, it doesn't matter when it is, any holiday to wish happy whatever it is to his friends and allies, but basically telling everyone else to fuck off. Because they're not good enough. And this time, who did he go after? He went after the judge who just issued a gag order and threatening his daughter. You know, when do they throw him in jail? It's a rhetorical question because I don't expect an answer unless Jackson wants to tell me. But he's barking at the guy out there who's doing someone's lawn work. So in that case, I'll tell you what. We will, I see Jonathan is here, so it's time for...
It's time for the fucking news from NicoleSandler.com.
And Jonathan Larson at thefuckingnews.substack.com.
He said a very bad word.
Oh, the language on you.
the fucking news.
Got to wait for the giggle. Hey, Jonathan Larson. I hope you had a fun Easter weekend and are now celebrating April Fool's Day in the manner in which it was intended to be celebrated.
You know, I'm such a stick in the mud. I'm actually like, you know, there's enough bad info out there. I sort of in good conscience feel nervous about contributing to it, even on April 1st, much as I love and have absolutely engaged and indulged in the past.
Yeah,
today just feels a little
there's
different.
Nothing funny right now. And you know, with the weirdness of our news, with nothing making sense, there's such a fine line between what's real and what's imagined that you're doing that. I'm not.
I'm trying to help you out here.
Thank you. It's too delicate. Our news is too delicate a concept right now to fuck around with it. Just like, you know, my comment.
And trust is so scarce.
Yes.
Right? Why risk that?
Just like the protests around primary votes. Normally, I'd say go for it. If you want to vote for uncommitted, go for it. But right now is not the time to fuck with a vote, especially when you have the other side trying to convince a majority of the American public that our elections are not secure and above board here. You don't fuck with a vote. Fuck with anything else. Leave the vote alone. It should be sacred.
I will say that was just a bombshell decision out of Florida today that you were talking about earlier.
The abortion law or the marijuana law?
The fact that they both upheld the ban and said, however, if you're inclined to come out to the polls in November, you can undo the ban. I mean, there's literally no better scenario from an election point of
view.
You know, of course, we don't talk about the fact that people's lives are at stake here, but from an election point of view, that literally has the potential to determine, not just influence, but determine the outcome of the presidential election and who knows how many under-ballot races.
Yeah, and let's see how Nikki Fried can capitalize on this. So far, I'm pretty impressed with her. She's the new chair of the Florida Democratic Party. And boy, did they need somebody like her. And she's tough. And I hope she already ousted the Miami-Dade County and Palm Beach County Democratic Party chairs because they were worthless. So she's trying to, you know, whip some shape into the Florida Democrats, which, you know, were almost non-existent for a while. So hopefully she can take this and mobilize people. We'll see. But there's another breaking story
not just
today.
Her, but the national committees,
right.
The candidates themselves. It takes a village, Nicole.
It does. But the candidates in Florida are nothing to, you know, brag about, really. They could have come up with stronger candidates. I bemoan the fact that their candidate to go up against Rick Scott, who's running for re-election, Voldemort, as I affectionately refer to him, two-term governor who was elected after being responsible for the singular largest Medicare fraud against the United States of America when he ran Columbia HCA, I can't even call it a healthcare company, scam company. And he went on he was on trial and he pled the fifth like 75 times in a row. And they elected him governor two terms and now he's running for his second term as senator.
That's called
astounding.
A successful businessman, Nicole.
Oh, please. defraud the American public. Sure. And the best that the Democrats could do to run against him is a one-term former congresswoman from Miami who should have won a second term but was easily defeated, Debbie Mercosell Powell. Really?
I'm not familiar.
Yeah, well, for good reason. She was
sure
a one-term backbencher.
There's
got to be better people, or maybe not, because we've all fled the state. So there's a story making the rounds today that a lot of people are having buyer's remorse who moved to Florida for the promise of, you know, no state income tax, sunshine, lower cost of living, because it used to be, Florida used to be really affordable. And they're finding a totally different landscape. Plus,
here's your insurance
fascism,
bill.
And insurance, which was a crisis under Rick Scott. DeSantis comes in, never did a thing to deal with the property insurance crisis. And now, if you own a home, you cannot get property insurance. If you find someone to write the policy, your premiums have increased tenfold. And I'm not exaggerating. It's really bad. Yet they haven't done anything about it. Instead, they want to enact six-week abortion bans.
I'm not sure they're going to feel that way tomorrow.
we'll see. I'm glad I'm not there. I wish I could get my daughter to follow us. Hopefully, I'll keep working on it. Although now that it's going to be a recreational weed, maybe you should. Yeah,
make a lot of people will be able to enjoy living there.
That's right.
Assuming they can afford it.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. You can't. It is unaffordable. It's unaffordable everywhere right now. Housing prices. Through the roof, but that's a story for another day. So Jonathan Larson, obviously the proprietor of The Fucking News at thefuckingnews.substack.com. You want to subscribe because you break original news. And what I was saying at the top, that it's a Monday thing. So first it was Rachel Maddow who takes over, the 9 o'clock slot on Monday. The rest of the week, Alex Wagner. But Monday is Rachel. Then Jen Psaki, the Sunday thing wasn't enough. So they take away Monday from Chris Hayes and give it to Jen Psaki. Then Jon Stewart comes back one day a week, Mondays. So Mondays are the day for breaking news, for high profile news sources. So the fucking news is how we start the week here with Jonathan Larson. And you're breaking news today.
I am. So I'm going to have the full story in tomorrow's edition of The Fucking News. So as Nicole mentioned, if you want to check out everything, because there's a lot going on here, there's a lot of pieces and red, string connecting things on the whiteboard and everything like that. But you'll have the article if you subscribe tonight. You'll be able to read it and make sense of what I'm about to try to explain to Nicole. Although, Nicole, Did you have a chance to read the draft?
I read some of it. I did not read the whole thing. And hold on, the echo should be better now. Sorry, I looked over and I rebuilt the studio, just so you know, because I was having gremlins. They followed me from Florida, and
all the workers have been chased out.
God, it's the gremlins. They hijacked a ride. I guess they went in Jackson's bag or something. but that should have taken care of the echo. Echo. You guys tell me. I have no way of knowing. Okay. So anyway, I'm sorry too. And hold, fill the air for 1 second. I got to get Jackson in here so he stops barking.
You bet. Okay. So here's the story. The story is, as some of you folks might know, I've been doing a lot of reporting on the organization behind the National Prayer Breakfast. It's a very secretive but Christian organization called The Family. That's how they're popularly known. And as I've reported over the last few years, because I got my hands on internal family documents listing basically all of their people, everyone who comes to the breakfast, everyone who's doing the inviting. So I've been able to sort of piece together what their network looks like. And one of the things that people really don't understand about the sort of Christian nationalist constellation of individuals and organizations we're dealing with right now is that there's sort of a spectrum, right? And so some of them are extraordinarily openly theocratic, far right, misogynist, racist, homophobic, all the bad isms you want to think of. But at the other end of the spectrum, there are very anodyne seeming organizations, and there's sort of like a little bit of a railroad that shuttles the right people from one into the other, and they all expand their collective networks, which of course that is not so big a problem on the benign end of things, but on the radical end, it ends up empowering them, which is why we see so many more of them. So one of the organizations connected to The Family is called the National Student Leadership Forum. And that was started in 1990 by members of Congress who were insiders at The Family, including the former senator who Nicole teased earlier.
Yes, my Bill former Nelson. Senator, Bill Nelson, worthless backbencher of the Senate. He was so ineffectual. He was just so horrible that when Rick Scott defeated him, now I voted for Bill Nelson as the lesser of two evils, but my God, there was not much to vote for, and that's why he lost to Voldemort. Sorry.
Well, that's right. And actually, some big insiders in The Family ironically helped defeat him. They funded Scott, including one of the billionaire GOP billionaires behind the family, really poured some money into a PAC at the last minute. I think there might have been a runoff or a recount, something like that. I don't remember. Anyway, point is, Nelson and others founded in 1990 this organization called the National Student Leadership Forum. And then they kind of seeded it throughout the country in maybe a dozen states or so. One of them in 1992 was the Florida Student Leadership Forum. Grace Nelson is also very deeply involved in this. This is Bill Nelson's wife. Mm-hmm. So this went on for years and years and years, and various people sort of came and went throughout the orbit of the National Student Leadership Forum, which is sort of the parent organization for the Florida one. One of the most notable is the former director of the national group called a guy named Tracy Mann, who is the Republican congressman from Kansas. He's been a birther, he's been a big lie supporter, all the usual stuff. But also, we're supposed to believe, and I think it's true, by the way, in the technical sense, we've had this conversation before, he's a very serious Christian. This is a guy who identifies as Christian and says that's his religion, and I don't dispute that. He was the co-chair of the National Prayer Breakfast. He was the director of this event for a few years. The thing about the family and its events and its spin-offs and all of its tentacles is that they're sort of like Schrodinger's cat. It's sort of what they are depends on who's looking at them. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in faith things and religion things, then they'll say, oh, yes, we're based on Jesus. However, if you say, well, you're just based on Jesus, are you exclusionary? And then they'll change their answer. So for instance, I'll give you, for instance, the Florida events website, and I haven't even gotten to the big part about this yet, how Bill Nelson is currently connected. So let me pause there. Let me buttonhole that and explain. So Nelson is now the administrator of NASA.
Yes, he is.
This
former
weekend,
astronaut. There's a reason. He was an astronaut. Right.
Right. Okay. Right. So this weekend, Friday through Sunday, the Florida Student Leadership Forum will be taking place at the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex. Now, NASA told me that, you know, the visitor complex is operated by a third party, you know, private business, so we have nothing to do with that. I FOIA'd Nelson's emails. I got nothing back, but they conceded that, you know, they can only search his private emails if he forwards them, which he is supposed to do if any of his private emails involve his official duties, which any discussion of hosting the Florida Student Leadership Forum at NASA would certainly be considered part of his official duties. They said, you know, we don't have anything. And NASA gave me a statement in which they said, Nelson is not involved. I said, okay, was he ever involved? Was he going to be involved? Were there discussions about him being involved? And they said, we're not going to go beyond the statement that we just gave you. So there are some questions here, especially given that the event and the family, as I mentioned, have been very opaque about who's involved and what they do.
Right.
And so to give you an example, before I made my inquiries about this event and Nelson's involvement, the Florida event said on its website that this is, of course, now I don't have the language right for me, so this said, of course, that the event is... believing that Jesus of Nazareth is one of the greatest leaders in history, his principles are the basis for much of the discussion. So that's how they described it, pretty open about the Jesus thing. Now that's at a point where pretty much no one who's not within the club is aware of this website. That was on February 1st. As of March 2nd, after I made my initial inquiries, that line was gone about Jesus of Nazareth, and now it had been changed to read, we will also consider leaders like Jesus of Nazareth, Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King, and William Wilberforce, who have changed our culture and made an impact on our world. Mm. So how Jesus-y they are depends on who's asking and who can find out about it. And actually, one of the things I uncovered was that back in 2001, a Muslim student who participated actually wrote to a state judge who was involved in the event and basically said, I'm extremely disappointed. I'm paraphrasing now. Mm-hmm. I'm disappointed that this was not made clear to me that it was going to be a Christian event. She said she felt, quote, very uncomfortable and out of place. The forum seemed to be intended for affirming Christian beliefs. I didn't expect this at a leadership forum that made no mention of any religion in its recruitment papers. There were group prayers ascribing to Christianity and, quote, testimonials of how accepting Jesus as their savior had changed their lives. This, she said, quote, simply was not what I had been informed of in the brochures. So there's at a minimum, there's the appearance or the possibility that this is kind of a little bit of a bait and switch. Yeah. Hey, ambitious, aspiring college students, come to this event and learn about leadership. And by leadership, I mean the white Jesus that's been around for 50 years or so in the popular imagination.
Yep.
That's the sort of benign end of it. But of course, there actually is no such thing as the Florida Student Leadership Forum. If you look it up in corporate databases, it doesn't exist. If you look it up in nonprofit databases, it doesn't exist. Nowhere on the website does it say this event is run by this company. There's no copyright symbol, nothing. It's very not 2024 in terms of transparency. However, there is a page that went up a couple years ago, which popped up when you were ready to pay. And that site, which I archived, so that'll be there in the piece tomorrow, that site lists a Baltimore P.O. box number, which happens to have been used by the family in the past. And it says right up top, the International Foundation, which is the DBA, the Doing Business As pseudonym for the Fellowship Foundation, a.k.a. the family. So this is being run by the family, only no one knows that. And part of the reason that's important is because, as I'm sure you and I have discussed, Congressman Mark Pocan asked the family just a couple months ago, hey, where are you on this Uganda death penalty for LGBTQ people thing, right? And because they had sponsored, they're involved in Uganda's National Prayer Breakfast, which was basically the pep rally for this law for a number of years. And the family finally responded last month to Pocan and said, you know what? People say lots of things. What are you going to do? They did not. They refused to condemn the law. So what we have now is an organization that funded congressional travel to go defend Uganda's death penalty just last year in October. They funded that travel. Right. Then they publicly refused to condemn the law. And now, in secret, because they've hidden their identity, they're going to be hosting an event for students who may or may not know what's going on government property.
Wow.
From Friday through Sunday. And this is not super atypical of how they operate. They feel no compulsion to be proactively, forthrightly open about who they are, what they're doing, what their aims are, what their plans are. Like, if you go to their website, there's no listing of what happens. It's 3 days. There's not a single agenda. There's not a single public speaker. It doesn't even say, like, what's going to happen. And we know, you know, from occasional social media accounts and that letter I just read from the Muslim student, we know that it's primarily BS. It's people who are not clergy. These are for the most part, you know, lay people who just come in and they spout their ideas, often unschooled, about what Jesus means to them. And they talk about loving and serving, but that can mean anything. And by serving, what they, you know, historically, what they mean by serving includes serving dictators, serving abusers of human rights, serving people who want to execute people who are too gay for them.
Wow.
So it's a sort of amoral view of Christianity that just says, you know, our function is to minister to power, full stop. No interrogation, no question or scrutiny about the nature of the power to which we're ministering. And I do want to say that I hope folks will check it out, if only because this isn't the last story about this particular form, if you will, of the family. There's more coming that I think is going to be even bigger. And so I hope people will get on the ground floor at thefuckingnews.substack.com.
And, you know, Jonathan Larson, the family is not anymore some obscure group that not everybody knows about, between the work you're doing, of course, but Jeff Charlotte for over a decade has been doing this reporting on the family. There's the book, The Family. And then there was K Street, or is it C Street? Sorry, that came afterwards. C Street, thank you. And the two were the basis of a Netflix docuseries on the family. So it got a lot of publicity. Back in the day, the whole Ugandan death to the gays bill, I remember Rachel Maddow reporting on that a long, long time ago. Is that when you worked with her?
No, I worked with her at Air America Radio.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Before MSNBC.
Right. So.
But yeah, she had Jeff Charlotte on.
Yes.
And David Bahati, mm-hmm. the Ugandan member of parliament, excuse me.
Right. So this is a story that's been out there, and yet, you know, the people in government who could work to shut this whole thing down aren't, because why? They're afraid to offend the religious sect of the nation. I mean, this is what gets me. It's like I feel like they go overboard to give them a wide berth so as not to overstep or to offend, or I don't know what the answer is.
I think historically that's accurate, and I think that's still accurate today, but I think it's less so among the Democrats for two reasons. One is because the excesses and the overreach, right, the statements and the things associated with Mike Johnson and others, you know, other, you know, essentially Christian nationalists within the Republican Party who are pretty open about their belief that God trumps the Constitution, and that their religious beliefs trump what the law and the Constitution require of them, and they will get away with what they can get away with, and they will conspire behind closed doors to facilitate networks that are undemocratic and answer only to their idea of their faith.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. That's an important factor here that I think has changed the dynamic a little bit. And by the way, they've now spent three decades saying that all Democrats, right, are homosexual communist socialists. So it's a little less effective now to attack the lack of religiosity on the Democratic side. People are so inured to hearing that. They've already bought it or they've already rejected it. But either way, it's already baked in, which means it's not going to move the needle that much anymore. The other thing I think we're seeing, and I have reason to believe this is true, is that it's my understanding that in Congress, there is the number of Democrats that are willing, either publicly or behind the scenes, to stand up to this, to actually not just resist Christian nationalism where and how they can, but also to advance the cause of secularism and the identity of secularism, to say, hey, you know, even some of our Democratic allies use language that is offensive and exclusionary regarding secular people, who, by the way, are now, you know, closing out on roughly like 30% of the population.
Yes, that's what I just went looking for, because this story just broke 2 days ago. Nearly 30%, 8 in 10 Americans say religion is losing influence in public life. Nearly 30% in U.S. now identify as having no religious affiliation. So when will people stand up? I still don't think we have anyone who says they're an atheist who's in Congress.
Flat out atheist, not that I'm aware of. Mm. But there are people who are willing to go farther than we've ever seen. And just the fact that we have something called the Freethought Caucus, that would have been unthinkable. Mm. You know, within living memory, certainly.
Right.
And I think, you know, I pointed this out actually in the fucking news today, Friday. I don't remember. It's the fucking news. but I'm sure you remember. So Congressman Tim Walberg, the guy who went to Uganda to defend their LGBTQ death penalty, he actually said last week and was caught on tape saying we should take care of, you know, that Israel should wrap up this whole Hamas situation very quickly, like Nagasaki
Wait,
and Hiroshima.
Hold on, I happen to have the audio here.
Happen to.
Here it goes.
At least take our money to build a border for them.
It's very muffled, but you know what? It's all the way at the end. Hold on. So let me play it from here.
We shouldn't be spending a dime on humanitarian aid. It should be like Nagasaki and Hiroshima.
He said we shouldn't be spending a dime. It was very muffled. We shouldn't be spending a dime on humanitarian aid. It should be like Nagasaki and Hiroshima over or something like. Oh, I
brought it. Get it over quick.
Get it over quick.
Right. So that's my new phrase for doing something quickly in the fucking news. Whenever I say, you know, like Nagasaki and Hiroshima.
Right.
That's what
get
I mean
it over
by
quick.
Fast.
Right. Fast. Fast.
Yeah. But there was a member of Congress who responded to that saying something like, this is a deeply disturbing statement, especially from a man of faith. That's a slap in the face to everyone who's not a
right.
person of faith.
Right.
That's
well,
a slap in the
we've
face.
We've talked
we
about this
higher,
before.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
We
just
have,
saying you're a good Christian doesn't right. automatically clear you of wrongdoing because, right. oh, you're a good Christian. I'm not a Christian. And as I say, I adhere to the teachings of Christ, not because Christ said it, but because it's about being a decent human being.
Then, I don't think you adhere to all the teachings of Christ.
many of them. I don't. I try not to lie. I don't cheat. I don't steal. I don't covet
Brave
my neighbor's.
Images?
Well, images. Yes.
Yes.
So
yeah,
there's some.
You brave some images.
But you see, it's not about Christ. It's about living my life the way I want to be treated, except when I. You know, except when I'm in a really shitty mood and the inner bitch in me comes out. But hey, that's human too. But don't tell me because you're a Christian, you're a better person than I am.
Well, yeah. Right. And certainly the idea that you're a man of faith means we should have a higher expectations of you. What does that say to people who have no faith?
Right.
Or who have faith in actual things, in real things.
Okay.
Right?
Let's talk about, okay, you got Joe Biden, a man who is a Catholic, who yesterday I'm pretty confident in saying he went to Easter services at his church because that's normal behavior for him.
I believe that was reported, yeah.
That's what he always does. Donald yeah. Trump, on the other hand, sent out 77 fake tweets. yelling at people. He didn't go to church, even with his phony, $60 Bibles and 2 Corinthians. This man has never been inside a church except if he was going to a wedding or something. And the people who call him godly, and now he's comparing himself to Christ again because someone else did, so he feels that it's okay for him to do.
I mean, he's surrounded with religious people who tell him these things.
Oh my God!
Right, like. The cycle of suckerism is a virtual one, vicious or virtual, however you want to describe it.
Do this,
it.
And so, I think the toilet, you know, just, yeah, that's right. The imagery I get.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, at this point, he may believe something akin to this anyway. He might not believe in the sort of more fairy tale aspects, right? Like Thomas Jefferson cut out the magic stuff from
right.
the New Testament with a pair of scissors, huh? But it's quite possible that like a lot of people, including he used to be a Democrat, he believes in something, right? He believes in spirituality or fate.
No,
right?
He doesn't. He believes.
I'm just saying it's possible.
I know, right?
I think he might.
Right. I think he believes that he, as the son of Fred Trump with his millions of dollars, is privileged. I believe that he thinks he's better than all those people who go to his rallies, who they think he's one of them. He's not one of them, and he disdains them. And that's what it kills me that they don't. You'll notice they're always outside of Mar-a-Lago with their flags on their pickup trucks and stuff. He's never invited them inside.
Is
right?
That true, really?
Yeah. They go up and down A1A over there. He doesn't let them in the gates. They're the unwashed, ugly masses. They're not his people. His people are all the women with the plastic surgery and who say, I won't take a vaccine because it's putting fake, you know, stuff in my body.
Right.
Right? Please.
No vaccines, but Botox by the
right.
truckload.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's the opposite world.
Yes. Yes. As it often is. But I do think that, you know, I mean, I'm not sure that Biden's religiosity is an especially good thing either, because
no.
I think it makes him more inclined to make excuses and allowances for, frankly, activities and behavior that violate the spirit, if not the letter, of separation of church and state, which, by the way, is a phrase that's not in the Constitution, but it's an idea and a concept that is damn well in the Bill of Rights.
Yes, it is.
So,
but look,
yeah.
you can say that about Biden. You got to know that as a devout Catholic, his personal preference is no abortion. But he understands he serves the people who elected him. I believe he disdains abortion. I believe he doesn't want it. But he knows that that's what the majority of the public believes they should have access to. And he's putting his personal beliefs behind the public sentiment and what he knows is right.
Well, hopefully also he's constrained in his exercise of his religiously premised values by the constitutional restrictions on his office,
right,
and on his conduct and his use of that office.
But Trump has no such compunctions. He's talked about, you have to believe in our religion, as if Christianity is the national religion. He has said our religion.
Also, as if Christianity is a singular religion.
Right.
I'm pretty sure there's any number of Christianities, plural, out right there. Which,
well,
know,
and he happened. Said, oh, and the big thing this weekend was, how dare Joe Biden recognize National Day of Trans Visibility on Easter Sunday? It's blasphemous. Well, no, it's always on March 31st. Right. You know, it just so happened that Easter this year fell on March 31st. But give me a fucking break.
Well, also, I mean, I love the fact that you're saying, how dare you do it on the day that Jesus rose, which changes every year.
Right.
I'm sorry.
It's a different day every year. It's a Sunday.
Men can't change to women, but the day that your God rose from the dead, that changes every year.
And like
the
sure. Okay,
and when that happened changes.
And just my logical way of being and my dislike of organized religion and my quest for common sense says, okay, so you're telling me that this woman was impregnated by God because she was a virgin. She was a virgin, mm-hmm. but she got pregnant. So I know, I'll tell my parents God did it. So God impregnated her and she gave birth to Jesus Christ. Now I could be wrong because I don't, you know, my.
But wasn't this a prophecy in the Old Testament? Doesn't the Jewish faith prophesize the arrival of a Messiah born of virgin birth?
You're asking me? I have no idea. I'm just talking about the implausibility of it all, and it's just batshit crazy.
Exactly, but that's my point too. I think the implausibility is shared by both halves of the Judeo-Christian
religious tradition. Look, there's no shortage of people believing in the imaginary man in the sky, but it gets better. So then Jesus goes out preaching all good and wonderful things, and then he's murdered. But that's okay, because he comes back to life a few days later. He's resurrected, right, and he's the right Son of God. But so is he still here? Is he alive? Did he die? What happened?
The answer to your questions is yes.
I thought he died for your sins, but he came alive for your sins too?
I actually had this conversation with someone over the weekend, because it was Easter. They said that Jesus is the only, you know, religious figure or God who is said to have died and then been brought back. And I said, actually, that's a tradition in mythology that goes back a long way. And one of the points I actually made in the fucking news in response to this whole transgender day thing is, if you actually look up Easter in the Bible, mm-hmm. the only time Easter appears in the Bible is as the first part of the word Eastern.
Oh.
The word Easter, like Christmas, never appears in the Bible. And in fact, we get Easter from our Germanic goddess of spring, who also came along with fertility symbols like bunnies and chicks, right? That's gotcha. Where all that stuff comes from. It's not in the Bible. So I looked even further, and it turns out that the goddess is called something like Ustra.
Easter.
But if you go back far enough, before her, and possibly leading into her, there was another spirit of light called Austri, who was a male. So possibly
transgender.
I'm stretching this a bit, actually have been celebrating Transgender Day for 2,000 years.
Look at that! I love it.
Thank you very much. I'll be here all week.
And David came in and said,
just today.
David came in and said, no virgin birth in Judaism, and he knows
prophecy.
No prophecy, David. I don't know. He said, all I know is he said no virgin birth. Right. I don't know. If it wasn't addressed in the Ten Commandments, I don't know.
Right. You know. And even then, I'm never sure which Ten Commandments they mean, because
Charlton Heston, Ten Commandments. That's my religious training.
Within the Bible, within the Old Testament, they give different Ten Commandments at different times. Like they restate them differently. Yes, they're literally different. Like sometimes two commandments from another list are clumped into one. And by the way, what people like never even realize or think about is most of the commandments are not like, don't do bad things. It's basically don't piss off God.
Oh,
right.
Right.
No
that's
graven
the
images,
right.
You know,
covet thy neighbor's wife.
No.
That's a bad thing.
Stuff.
Right. No, no golden bowls or anything.
Exactly,
stuff like that.
Exactly.
Right.
No taking my name in vain because I fuck you up.
God damn
like,
it.
This is not a moral thing.
Right.
You know, like how is that supposed to like set society on a path to virtuousness? The most of the 10, or at least a lot of the 10 commandments are basically just God saying, you know what? Here's what cheeses me off.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess some people, look, if it gives them strength to get through the day thinking that there's some power up there taking care of them, good. I guess it's the cynic in me that says if there was some all good powerful being, why is there war? Why is there cancer? Why? And so prove to me that you're real. And stop the wars, okay? Cut it out.
Yeah. The paradox that always gets me is the religious people who I would prefer we have more of are the ones who are absolutely illogical to me because they say, like Biden, like, I believe that this is how the world works and there's an all-powerful entity who wants it to happen, but I'm not going to do a thing about it,
right? Right.
Like the Mike Johnsons are clearly doing things that I would prefer they not do. But also their behavior is the most logical to me from a religious belief.
Oh, but not because, at all. Because you get those people who are devout, say Catholics, who will then talk about the Mormons and their magic underwear and all the silly rituals they and laugh at their, at their theology. But then it's like you eat a thing and you call it the body of Christ and you drink wine and call it his blood. I mean, what the hell?
Well, to me that like whatever rituals you perform in the privacy of your own
it's
religion,
it's up to you, right?
That doesn't bother me, but I get why if you're Mike Johnson and you believe God is going to cast everyone into hell unless I save them, like that's a good reason to have the Crusades, right? If that's the only way you can save people by torturing them, like if that were true, that I would go spend eternity in hell if I were not Christian, I would want someone to torture me into becoming a Christian.
Yeah, I say prove it. Prove it.
Of course,
show me it exists. Otherwise,
I'm just saying,
fuck you.
Both camps, if you both believe it, then the Mike Johnson approach, the Crusades approach, is actually more logical than saying, I absolutely believe this, but whatever.
Right. But instead, they're worshiping a guy who has no belief system at all. I'm sorry. I know nothing about Trump. I'm not inside his head, thank God, or thank dog. But I can promise you he's never read the fucking Bible in his 2 Corinthians.
I believe that is probably correct.
And on that note, none at all. Subscribe to the fucking news, thefuckingnews.substack.com. You'll get this scoop that you got in advance on today from Jonathan Larson about the family. Maybe I need to get you on with Jeff Charlotte one of these days. We can have a ball.
Yeah, you should have a 4-hour show because Jeff and I talk. And
I love Jeff Charlotte. He's one of my favorite guests. He's been on many, many times over the years. So maybe we'll do that. We'll do that. Jonathan Larson, have a wonderful week. Stay away from the April Fool's jokes. And I'll see you next week.
Thanks,
and
Nicole.
You guys, I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye. Peace out.